on this beautiful pre-Christmas morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jamie's going to lead us in communion, and we just want to stay in the celebratory mood and receive from Jesus today, because this is why we're here. We're here to worship him. We keep eternity in mind, and I'm reminded of that probably more than ever before in this year. And I just thank God for the fact that we have him as our stable rock, and he is our true Father in heaven. Amen. And he's the reason that we celebrate. He's the reason for the season, in a way that he's saying, I'm going to show that to you so specifically in your own lives more and more. Keep that front and center focus, no matter what's going on, no matter what your circumstances are. He's the one, he's the rock. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the Alpha and the Omega. So we celebrate you today, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that many, many were born as a baby and then became king. But you're the only one who is king, who was king, and came down as a baby. Amazing. What a reminder of that. What a reminder that you're king and you left who you were in heaven and became us. Can't even wrap my arms around that. So that you could come and be with us, Emmanuel, God with us, as king. Father, we thank you that this is the season that we live in, Philippians 2. We live in who you are, and we live in what you've done and who you've called us to be, that we can't do or be on our own. We can only receive you. We can only believe you, stand for you and with you and trust you. So, Father, I thank you that you came to die. You were born to die. Thank you, Lord. But not just to die, but to raise to new life so that we could know you. And we thank you, God, for you are Christ our Lord. Lest we ever forget that, no matter whatever happens or goes awry in our lives, good, bad, or whatever we think, all things are from you, for you, by you, through you. And you deserve the honor, and you deserve the glory and praise. You are our sustaining love. We love you, Jesus. And Father, during this week, we thank you, Lord, that we are ever mindful more and more and more that we are called to live for eternity, to live in eternity, even here, even now in this world. With all our attitudes and actions and interactions, everything that we're going on, all the joys, all the sorrows, all the tough times, all the good times, we know that nothing moves you because you're stable. You're the rock of our salvation. So we give you praise and say, all is well with my soul. Can we join in and say that? All is well with my soul because of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Wanted to share a couple things this morning before we take communion. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, just being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So as Pastor Mary Pat was praying, actually that was what the Lord had put on my heart this morning, that he was born for this purpose. He was born to save us from our sins. If you think about eternity past, you know, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, were there was complete unity, there was complete love, perfect love. It had never, ever been severed. It had never been disrupted. But God knew all along, all the way from eternity past, our minds have a hard time, you know, comprehending that. He knew that he was going to have to come to die for us. And it's just a reminder of how much he deeply loves us. You know, that in this Christmas season, you know, that if we could just stop for a moment and just lean into the Holy Spirit to stop wherever you are in the midst of shopping, in the midst of wrapping gifts, in the midst of, you know, trying to get stuff cooking, you know, get all the stuff out of the oven, whatever you're doing, just stop and just say, Lord, I want to lean into your spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It was prophesied in Isaiah and through the prophets that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come. I also wanted to read in Isaiah 7. This was actually the verse for this morning, but it just goes along with this. 7:14, Isaiah 7:14. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he's not just with us, he's in us. So just let that speak to you this morning. That I know this week there was something personally I was sort of dealing with, battling with, and I was crying out to the Lord on my way to work in tears, just crying out to him. And then it was like within an hour, the Lord just began to answer me. Like I'm sitting there working and the Lord just keeps speaking to me, just like, you know, just don't get distracted. Don't let the enemy mess with you. Just focus. Keep your eyes on me. And he was just affirming me. And just I could just feel his love. And I'm just like encountering his presence at work, you know. And that's what we were designed for, to encounter his presence, to be in his presence, to live in his presence. So I just encourage all of us today just to continue to do that and to encourage others to do that, our family members. Look for opportunities to be a blessing, to, you know, show love to somebody.
Well, just as we get ready to partake in these elements that just represent the body in Christ of Jesus and his shed blood on the cross and going to that place that we couldn't go to, he was the one that had to go in our place, pay the price, because we would never measure up. We could never measure up. And he took that place for us and took every single sin, every iniquity, all of our infirmities upon himself, and it was nailed to the cross. And so in this season, as Mike was talking about Emmanuel with us, the Lord's been speaking to me about just taking all in all the wonder of who he is all around us and not taking anything for granted. And the one word specifically that has just been highlighted just these last couple of weeks is time. 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 What does that even mean, Lord? What are you speaking? We're going into a new year, but just the reality that Jesus is coming back soon, and what we get to do here on earth is prepare ourselves for him, prepare ourselves for his coming, remembering as Christmas time rolls around that, yes, Jesus was born in a manger. He was born to Mary and Joseph. He came so that we could be saved. He came for that very, very purpose, but it doesn't end there, and it doesn't end at the cross, and he rose from the dead, and this is the ending, that he is coming back for us. He's waiting, and he's watching, and he's looking, and he's coming back. And he says, the time is coming. So what reality are you living in? Are you living in the reality of your circumstances or of the things that are going on in your life that are can be difficult at times, challenging at times? Or are you living in the reality of me and my world? Or are we living in the reality of Christ Jesus, the King of glory, the King of heaven, who is coming again? So I just encourage all of us here this morning to stir yourselves up in your most holy faith and say, Jesus, yes, the time is coming. I want to prepare myself. I want to prepare myself for you. And just to go along with that, right, as we get ready for this, is that this week, along with taking in all the wonder of Jesus and not taking him for granted, my daughter, when she was born, she had something called a loose tear duct in her eye. I asked the Lord what to share this morning, and he just put this on my heart. And she had lots of drainage in her eye. So every morning she would wake up, she had all the crusties around, looked like boogers kind of, and have to wipe it, and would wipe it multiple times a day. And we prayed for her earlier on, about 2-3 months, just, you know, asking the Lord to heal it. We wouldn't have to wait for her to turn 1 year old, you know, when it kind of resolves. And just trusting the Lord would do it. And one morning she woke up this week and her eye was completely dry. I mean, I have to wipe this several times a day, and it's like draining out, and it's when she cries and it gets really bad. And, you know, just a little thing, right? It's just something little. But one morning she woke up this week and it was completely dry, and that's completely out of the norm, very, very unusual. And so I'm looking at it and thinking, well, maybe you woke up a little bit ago. Did I wipe it? I'm not sure. Well, we went throughout the whole day, kept monitoring it, kept looking at it, and nothing was coming out. It just stayed dry. That's not normal at all. So I'm like, okay. Lord, I know you can do this, but we didn't see any of this lessening. It was just, bam, it was gone. So we woke up the next morning, yesterday morning, checked it again, completely dry. And the Lord was speaking, yes, glory to God. But the Lord was speaking to me about just appreciating him in the little things. And saying, thank you, Jesus, that he cares. He cares about every small detail, every little thing in our hearts that nobody knows about, the little things that we are crying out to him for, or the very big things. He knows all of it, and he cares about all of it, and he loves us so much. And so just my sweet little girl seeing that, those clear blue eyes looking up at me, and I'm like, Jesus, I can see Jesus through those eyes. And I'm like, yes, Lord. So as you're taking of these elements, and as you partake of the bread, which represents his body that was broken for us, and as you drink of this juice that represents the blood that was spilled out for us, for our sins, for our sicknesses, believe for yourself, if he can heal a little baby with just a small little problem, I can wipe it, it goes away. If he can heal her, why not anything else? He's such a big God, and he loves us, and he's here for you today. And wherever you are in your heart, he says, I want to meet you where you are and show myself to you. So as we just play a little bit of music, I'm going to pray and invite you up to come, and the children are going to share their Christmas song after this and some other special things they have prepared for us. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, big, small, whatever it is, Lord. You are in it all, Lord. You are Emmanuel. You are Emmanuel. Big, small, no matter what it is, you're in it all. You're Emmanuel. And we love you. 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 We celebrate. We celebrate your coming here on earth over 2,000 years ago. You're coming here on earth so that one day you would face death. One day you would stare it down. You would stare down the enemy of our soul, and you would say, no, these are my children. I'm coming. I'm coming to ransom them. And you're coming. You're coming once again, Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was spilled. We thank you for your body that was broken, Lord. And we just receive you in fullness this morning, wherever we are, whatever we need, Lord. And simply just to be close to you, because you are worthy and you are holy and you are God Almighty. You are the Holy One of Israel, and you are coming again. So Jesus, I just bless these elements, and I thank you that as we take them, we will encounter you and we will experience your presence in our bodies, in our hearts, in our emotions, and in our minds, Father, as we lay ourselves down and we say, Jesus, you are the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And we receive you. We receive you once again, Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, for a cleansing as we come and we offer ourselves to you. We repent to you, Jesus. Anything that would keep us from being close to you, Lord, because the very reason that you sent your son and then to die on the cross was so that we would not be separated from you for eternity, but to be close, close to your heart, close to your presence in your family, Lord. And so if there's anything that would keep us, oh God, forgive us. We lay it down. We lay it down. And we love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name. And just invite you to come. They're on either side, there's juice and the bread, and you can come with like the first three rows. You can make your way up, and if you'd like to spend more time with the Lord at your seats, you can take it to your seat and partake. God bless you.
Dear Jesus, on Christmas, Jesus, we want to put all our full focus on you and remember how you came for us. You came humbly, not from in a castle or a mansion, but in a stable. So this Christmas, I personally want to put my second focus on giving to others because you gave so much to us. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Dear Jesus,
I love Christmas because we all give and get gifts, and it helps me know that people love me. And all the food, getting together at my grandma's house and celebrating your birthday.
Dear Jesus, I thank you for food, water, and shelter. To me, Christmas means your birthday. I thank you for everything.
Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and dying for us. At Christmas, we celebrate your birth. Thank you for teaching us how to live life how you want us to.
Dear Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for dying on the cross for everyone's lives. I want to give you my life to you, and I want to serve you with my life. Happy birthday.
Dear Jesus, I love you and Christmas because it was when you were born, and because we get to gather up as a family and give each other a present. But my favorite part about Christmas is just being with you and family. But when you get this letter, can you say hi to Nana for me and tell her I love her? And thank you for dying on the cross for us. I love you, and thank you for saving our sins.
Thank you, Jesus, for all you have given us.
Dear Jesus, I like Christmas because in the morning we go to Grandma's house and celebrate. We love you, Jesus.
Christmas.
Dear Jesus, I love you. I like spending time with my family on Christmas.
I love you, Jesus. I want to give you a golden crown. I praise you. I love you because you give me my heart. I love to joke about Bigfoot. Thank you for my toys. Thank you for our food that we all need. I want to give some of my clothes and toys and big t-shirts I have. I want to give you my heart. Thank you for saving my life when I was a baby. Jesus, I thank you. And I adore you.
I wish I could give you everything from the earth because I love you. From Josiah to Jesus. Dear Jesus.
Dear God, I thank you for all the stuff that you provide for me. Thank you for making this world. I'm glad that you provide for everyone. Thanks for making this world a better place to live in. I can't imagine what it would be like without you. Love, Luke.
Jesus is Christmas.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for blessing us.
Thank you. And I'm glad we're safe.
Thank you. Thank you, I like when I'm safe.
Thank you, and I'm glad we're safe.
Let's just thank Christy and Ashley and everyone else that was a part of that. That was, the Lord gave them that idea to share that. So, Merry Christmas. This Tuesday is Christmas, but right before that, on Monday Eve, tomorrow evening, which is Christmas Eve, we have a special candlelight service that we're holding from 6 to 7:30 p.m. So we invite you to be a part of that. Invite your friends to come. And it fits right in between dinner and maybe visiting other family members, so hopefully you can make it. And then a week from today, we have our kickoff going into the new year, communion service for the last Sunday of the year, 2018, just to commemorate everything God has done this year. And then we have an amazing New Year's Eve celebration here at the church on December 31st, which would be Monday. And that kicks off at 7 p.m. We have We're going to be having international dishes, so we welcome you to bring something to eat for everyone to partake in. And we'll be having games, and Kim and Rick Rogers, my parents, are going to have something really fun for us. I don't know what that'll be yet, but something family fun, activity, game, who knows. Just get excited, get pumped. I'm totally raising the bar for them and, you know, setting the expectation high. It'll be great. And then we have some just amazing things that'll be released from our House of Prayer team just to go into the new year along with worship. So again, bring anybody you want. Bring family, bring friends. It's a really fun time. We have worship at the end, but a lot of the beginning is fellowship and just enjoying one another. And we always have lots of fun. So please bring a dish to share, a friend, a family member, and a ready heart to go into the year 2019. And a game, yes, bring a game too. And Tiana is also helping with that New Year's Eve celebration.
Thank you. Kingdom Kids today? Yes? See you soon. Kingdom Kids. Pastor Mary Packer. You can't go. Running in place. See how that goes. Well, now that they're gone, it's up to us. All that enthusiasm, joy. Father, we thank you, God. You're here for us today. May we be here for you today. Lord, we offer our lives to you, our hearts to you, our futures to you. Here we are, God. We just want to say we love you. Just want to say we appreciate your presence. We appreciate your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you've decided to show up here in this place as well as many places around the world. You're omnipresent. That means you can be anywhere you want to be at any time. Thank you for choosing here as one of your places to dwell. Father, we thank you, God, for this season that we remember you coming, that began a process where you gave all for us. You gave your life so we could have life, eternal life, abundant life, a changed life. So many benefits from you coming, entering into human form, limiting yourself from God to God inside of a human. Jesus, your steps of love toward us are so many. May we make steps toward you that multiply. And God, then we'll be ready when we have that opportunity to share with someone, or we take that opportunity and we go somewhere, we go to someone, or we speak to the person in front of us, that we tell them, Jesus died for you. He loves you. God, let that message be on our lips in this season. And may many people be transformed as the focus of the world can turn to Jesus during this season. His name is mentioned so many times. There's a lot of distracting names as well that are mentioned. But Jesus, your name, when it's mentioned, it's life. So it even gets rid of all the distractions. If we say your name, it's multiplied into more life for people. We thank you, God, for all you are for us and all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I never give a Christmas message. I can't remember a time when I did, but today I have one. Usually during Christmas I give a message and it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but it generally does. But today I actually have a Christmas message. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Verse 26, Luke 1, 26. If you need a Bible, you just raise your hand in this place and it's delivered to you. It's just amazing how that happens. It's just delivered to you so you can follow along with us. I just love it. It's better than FedEx. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Notice all these details. This is not the Christmas story. This is the Christmas account. It actually happened. If newspaper men and magazine people and the news would have shown up here, they would have seen these people doing these things. This isn't a made-up story. This actually happened. Verse 28, and coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Now, Gabriel, this amazing angel, shows up and starts speaking to Mary, and she's perplexed. I think I'd be scared to death. She's perplexed. That means to me that she was familiar with the supernatural. That an angel shows up and she doesn't just fall apart. She's just perplexed. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary," just in case you are, "do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." You're going to have a baby that's going to be so much greater than you, Mary. This isn't about you, Mary. I'm giving you the details so you kind of get prepared, because you're going to be holding this child inside of you for 9 months. But this isn't about you, Mary. This is about the person within you, Mary. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" She says, a natural question any of us would ask. How can this be? I'm betrothed to Joseph. We're not married. We're not going to produce a child. But a child is going to be in me without a father? How could this be? The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, and nothing will be impossible with God." Okay, there's a few impossibilities going on here already. Elizabeth's in her old age, she's going to have a baby. Elizabeth was barren, she's going to have a baby. You're a virgin, going to have a baby. It's baby time! Baby time! And it's all supernatural. Now you think, this young girl, chosen out of all the women to be the one, she gets to hear, "Miracle time, miracle time. You're a humble servant of the Lord. Guess what? I have a surprise for you. The Lord sees you. He knows you, and something supernatural and spectacular is going to happen within you, to you, and for the world through you." Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry. She had no more questions. She had one question. We have so many. Last week, what did I speak on? I was just last week. It wasn't 2 weeks ago. Surrender, wow. Guess I'll speak every week then. It comes quicker. It's not 2 weeks. Surrender was one of the words that we struggle with. Mary asks one question and surrenders to this whole process. One question. Just trying to get the picture of what could happen with this supernatural thing. Did she understand what was going on? No. How could she? It's never happened before. Oftentimes, God will ask us to do something that's never happened before. And we could end up questioning for our entire life and saying, well, I don't know. I don't think that can happen with me. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm from the right side of the tracks, and I don't want to do this because I got everything I want. We could ask questions for the rest of our life and miss the destiny God has for us. Or we could surrender. See, this ties into last week. We could surrender. She surrendered after one question. And it wasn't a question like, how the world, God? It was very humble. How can this be? Since I'm a virgin, can you give me a little help here? And when she hears the explanation, it's supernatural anyway. So she's going to have to either step into it, surrender and step into it, or not. She is an example of surrender, isn't she, from last week? Jesus is the ultimate example and always will be of surrender. But here's Mary, the example of surrender. Someone like us. Someone simple like us. That stepped into surrender that changed the world. What if God had some Christmas present for you in this season? You're busy shopping and so on, and an angel appears in Macy's while you're at the counter. Nobody else in Macy's sees the angel, only you. And he gives you this crazy destiny in the middle of Macy's. Crashes your world. And you have to decide whether you're going to surrender. Or would you just continue with your purchase? He might surprise you. Yes, in this, the busiest of all seasons, he might just surprise you. She was not in any busy season, it didn't seem like. Just a humble girl. She was a girl. Wasn't expecting anything, but you wouldn't expect anything in Macy's other than whatever you're shopping for, and hopefully they have it. What if he surprised you in this season? He just caught your attention for a moment and laid out part of your destiny because he sees you, knows you, and has something bigger than what you've been thinking. God has to have something bigger than what we've been thinking because our thinking is too small. Ooh-hoo. God thinks big for you. You think small for you. Even if you think your biggest thoughts, your grandest dreams, too small. God thinks something bigger, greater, more impacting for the world. But I want to be rich like Bill Gates. Look what he's done. Look what good he's done. He puts out operating systems that sometimes don't always work the way we want. He promises us that those computers will just zoom along faster and faster speeds. And sometimes there's glitches and problems. Software developers, and then you have the people that work on your computer to make sure it's working right. And you take it into people and it's not working. You want to be like Bill Gates? Give that to the world? It's a blessing and a lot of trouble at the same time. But whatever God gives you is going to build his kingdom. It's going to bless the world with no glitches. Bless the person that you talk to about salvation or the kingdom or heaven. Without any glitches on his end. Mary, hears about her relative. She gets the inside scoop. She doesn't need to call up, you know, Elizabeth on her cell phone. Hey, how's it going? What's going on in your life? This angel says, oh, by the way, your cousin's a little bit ahead of you. Your relative's a little bit ahead of you. She has a child. She was barren. She's in her sixth month. She's conceived in her old age. She's had a couple miracles. You're going to have a miracle. See, this supernatural stuff, it's catching in this season of the world. You are now a world figure, Mary. You went from being a simple girl in the village to being a world figure. People are going to have to decide, is Mary better than Jesus? Because she had Jesus. She's the mother of Jesus. She must be really special. And there are 30-foot tall statues in some parts of the world, and maybe higher, of Mary. Because people got mixed up. People got mixed up. She's not to be worshipped. And she wouldn't want to be worshipped if you talk to her. Don't right now. Don't do it right now. But she would not want to be worshipped, because the next verse says, and Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. The what? I am the slave of the Lord. Bondslave. You know what they used to do. They'd take an ear, they'd put it out, and they'd put something through the ear to show that you were the slave of someone else. Or some other marking back in those days. You're the slave of this other person. In this case, she volunteers. Go ahead, put the mark on me, Jesus. Put the mark on me, God. I am the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done according to your word. May it be done according to what I've heard, but I don't understand. May it be done. I'm part of this. I don't even get it. I don't know how this could happen, but here I am. Here I am. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. And I'm a bondslave. Don't let me receive any glory from this. Do slaves receive glory? No. Masters receive glory. And the angel departed from her. Angel speaks to her. She speaks back to the angel. Angel takes off. Now it's Mary. Here I am. I'm still the same. What happened here? She visits Elizabeth. Finds out it's true. Elizabeth blesses her. Verse 42. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. You know, they prophesied back then as well. It's not just now. Where do you think that we learn about prophecy? They did so in the Bible. She blesses her with a prophecy. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now, someone can say to us, blessed are you, Bill, among men, and blessed is your destiny. Should I go around saying, I'm the blessed Bill? I am the blessed Bill. Somebody blessed me, so I'm the blessed Bill. See, some people have this mixed up. Just because she was blessed by Mary and others said, man, this is a blessing for you. You are a blessed woman among women. Doesn't mean Mary strutted her stuff, went around, you know, the village going, hey, yo, you better be bringing some fruits and vegetables over to my house because I'm blessed. I'm going to have the Son of God soon living inside my body. Do you think she handled that way, really? course she didn't. She surrendered, and she did those 10 things last week, if you were here, that I had on the list that are hard to do. She stepped into those by the power of the Holy Spirit. She was humble. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Just because Elizabeth says that doesn't mean Mary takes it in and goes, yeah, I'm the mother of the Lord, so you are blessed that I showed up at your house. You know, I just can't see this happening with this humble girl. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is he, is she, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. I mean, she's just blessing her and blessing her. When the sound of your greeting came forth, the baby within me, John the Baptist, jumped. Now Mary could start saying, wow, I'm pretty anointed. I can make babies jump in the womb just by saying hello. She could go around strutting her stuff. I'm the Blessed Mary. I'm the Blessed Mary. She didn't. I'll just tell you that right straight up. She didn't do that. And just because someone says, oh, Pastor Bill, you're anointed. When you do this, thus, and so, things happen. I can't go around strutting my stuff because it's not me that's producing that, is it? It's not you that's producing the gifts coming out of you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that deserves the glory and the praise and the honor. That's why we can step into these things and say, yes, when I pray for someone, I expect healing now. I didn't used to, but now I do. And sometimes it doesn't happen, and I still expect the next time. Why? Because I have seen the Holy Spirit work through me when I put my hand on someone or I sing over them, they are healed. And I in awe. Should I not tell anybody that that happens? That would make me humble, right? If I didn't tell anybody what God did through me, that would make me humble. No, what makes me humble is saying God did this. God deserves the glory. God is amazing. He has a destiny for my life, for your life. We're all in the same basket, but he can come in and turn us into something amazing. Powerful, if we just surrender to his destiny for us. He wants something bigger than what we ever expect. Let me say it again. He wants something bigger than we could ever expect to come out of our life. So if you're going around with your head down for some reason, because not enough is coming out of your life that's changing the world, it's time to look up to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, surrender to him. And something amazing is going to come out of your life. Come on. That's the truth. That is the truth. If he can take a little village girl, unknown to anyone, and use her so powerfully to change the world, and she stayed humble afterwards, he can do it with us. So Mary speaks, my soul exalts the world and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Does this sound like a girl that's going around saying, one day I'll be called the Blessed Mary. There will be 30 or 40 foot tall statues of me around the world for being the mother of Jesus, and I deserve it because I'm his faithful slave, kind of, because I think I'm somebody special. I think I'm somebody special. And people are blessing me right and left, right and left. Everywhere I go, people say good things about me. The hardest thing to do is to be used as a servant of the Lord and stay humble. Realizing only Holy Spirit could flow through us like a pipe. to other people. And she did it. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. She can say it, but still be humble. She can say, I have been used like no one else in history, but I'm his bondslave. I am a person who came from humble places and humble means, and I'm a bondslave, and yet he can do miraculous things through my life. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercies upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their own heart. He scatters the proud, she says. Don't count me in their number, she says. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. And he has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. She says these amazing things about God and stays humble in it. She says he scatters the proud. What's he do for the humble? Exalts them. I'll let God do what God does, and I'll just be his bondslave. And when he does something amazing through me, I'm going to give him the glory. This is called the Magnificat. It's famous, a famous prayer in the Bible. But do you think Mary thought this was going to end up in the Bible? By the power of the Holy Spirit, she didn't even probably know there was going to be a Bible beyond the scrolls that she heard in the temple or in her local synagogue. She had no idea that this would be used for the rest of eternity as part of God's word to people. She was giving glory to God. She was telling the truth. My name will be blessed among women for the rest of eternity. But I am a bondslave and glad to be one. I'm still the humble girl from the village, just used powerfully by my mighty God who chose me. Can we have that same attitude when he decides to do something amazing through our lives? She's a good example. But I can tell you she would be the first one to use a sledgehammer or a bulldozer to take down those 30 and 40 foot high statues around the world of her. She would not even want statues of Jesus. She would want Jesus reigning in the hearts of people. So I first thought I had about this message this morning was this, and I'm struggling to get it out. I want you to get this so much. Mary is you. She was the prototype. She was the pioneer. You see, it's not just Mary that had the Son of God inside of her. It's you, if you know Jesus. Mary carried him around for 9 months and was affected by him spiritually. But Jesus didn't stay with her until the Holy Spirit fell and every Christian had the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Are you hearing me? Mary had Jesus living inside of her for 9 months. She didn't have the Holy Spirit in her or on her continually. Because back then the Holy Spirit came on people and then he would leave after he was done with whatever he wanted to empower them to do. But you have him all the time inside of you. You carry the Son of God inside of you continually if you know Jesus. Mary was the prototype. You are what Jesus wants for now. How to carry him. And it's continually. We say, Mary, you're blessed. You are a great example. You sacrificed. You submitted. You surrendered. It's true. But today, we're more blessed than Mary in many ways because we have the Holy Spirit continually in us once we receive Jesus. She had to give birth to the Son of God and then later on be baptized in the Holy Spirit to have the Holy Spirit dwell with her forever until she died. You are the real thing. Mary was the prototype. Can you get that? So the quote today is, Mary is not the pinnacle. She's the prototype, a pioneer. She was a pioneer. Some of you, we have spoken over in general or specifically, you are the pioneer in your family. Why? Because you received Jesus, you took the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you are going to the streets and the neighborhoods and the nations and family members and friends with Jesus in a way more powerful than anyone else in your family. So do you take that responsibility to be a pioneer? When I received Jesus in 1972, I didn't know I'd be the pioneer in my family, spiritually, for my family. People have come to the Lord because I came to Jesus in my family. They didn't come to the Lord before that. They came to the Lord after that. Watching my life, hearing my testimony of him, they received him in my family. Eventually, I embraced the fact I am the spiritual pioneer of my family. Now, do I go around strutting that everywhere, or especially in front of my family? No. Because God decided, and I received, just like Mary. He had a destiny for me within my family and to the nations. He decided Billy was going to be something special in him. And when I received him at 5 years of age, and it didn't stick. And then at 10 and 11, didn't stick. And crying out in the middle of the night because I thought I was going to go to hell. It didn't stick. And getting baptized 2 or 3 times didn't stick. But at 19 years of age, when I bent my knee to Jesus, I gave him my life. And now I am the pioneer in my family because of him. I know it's because of him. Because with me, you could call me a pioneer. It wouldn't stick with just my power, my abilities, my desires. But when he empowered me, it stuck. And now I can declare to you, I am the pioneer in my family. Can you say the same? Do you want the same? And can you come under the pioneer if you're not the pioneer? Maybe there's someone that really did set the spiritual pace in your family already, and you're just supporting them. Can you do that? When Abraham said, I'm going into the wilderness. Come on, family. They went with him. There wasn't a family council and say, Dad's gone off his rocker. It's nice here. We have all kinds of sheep and cattle and land and good stuff and trees right here where we're at and water. He's taking us into the desert. I'm not going with him. Dad's gone Looney Tunes. No, they followed Abraham. Because they believed he was the pioneer. They believed he heard from God. It was more important than the oasis that they were in to follow the pioneer, the spiritual pioneer. So my parents, I'm sure my sister, I'm sure they thought I was Looney Tunes for a while when I received Jesus. But as they saw him bless my life, as they saw me turn into a different person, I became the pioneer of my family, and they wanted him, and they received him. I was just telling someone yesterday, my uncle, we showed up after one of the funerals of my family members. They live 500 miles from here. And we went up there to a funeral, and he was at the funeral. He says, I've asked you to come over to my house a lot, and you don't come. I said, today I'm coming. Okay. He's 83 years old. Okay, you come. I said, I'm coming right after this. I'm coming up there. Okay. All right, yeah, all right. So we go up to his house within 15 minutes. This 83-year-old man that was always my favorite uncle because he was so funny was crying. Crying. Never seen my uncle cry. Because somehow the Lord arranged it for us to start talking, and within 15 minutes, we started talking about when he was a 7-year-old boy, and he was in front of a church with some other boys, and a dog that these boys had brought ran up into the church because the door was open, and the pastor came out, and the boys ran away, and my uncle was the only one standing there. And he let him have it for letting that dog go into the church. My uncle wasn't at fault. The pastor got a hold of my grandfather, and my grandfather gave him a royal punishment when he got home for letting the dog go into church. He was totally innocent, and as an 83-year-old man, he was crying from the pain of that memory and what it had done to him to keep him from the church. He had a church right across the street that was on fire for a season of that church's history. He never showed up there, not once, right across the street. I'm talking right across the street. Never went there. In a few more minutes, he received the consolation, the peace of the Lord. That pain started to be released in his heart because he was willing to receive Jesus. He received Jesus, and that pain started to go out of his heart. He started to be healed right then and there of this terrible memory and this offense against the church of Jesus Christ. And within just a few more minutes, his 78-year-old wife was on her knees receiving the Lord, on her knees. Miraculous. What was part of that? I am the pioneer in the family, and I showed up at his house. Now, do I look at that and say, yeah, that's me, man? I was in awe, total awe of what had happened. And those that were there sharing as well, Mary Pat and Christy and Josh. I mean, it was all a mix that the Lord used to bring my uncle and my aunt into his kingdom very quickly. And they were bawling their eyes out. Just awesome. I don't know if you've ever seen a commercial on TV about, what's the pillow? My Pillow. I have it written down wrong. I have Mr. Pillow. I knew that wasn't it. It just didn't ring right. Mr. Pillow. My Pillow. Saw him on an interview a couple days ago. His face is pretty familiar because it's those goofy ads. Mr. MyPillow. He is supporting a film that's coming out, standing against abortion. Put $1 million into it, and they gave him a role in the film, a cameo role in the film. He is a dedicated, absolutely crazy Christian. And the role in the film is that he's in some kind of heavy equipment, and he's supposed to knock over something. I don't know. I don't know the whole plot. So it was just a scene where he was in the heavy equipment, maybe a bulldozer or something, and he's supposed to knock something over. And they said, oh, well, you'll want a double for that. You'll want somebody to come in and actually do it for you. He said, no way. He says, are you kidding me? I'm doing this myself. And he said, well, you only have one take. There's 400 extras that we have to pay. And if you don't get it right, the sun's going down and you've got it. You have one take to do this. And you know the guy. I don't know if you've seen it on the commercials, but I can do it. I'll do it. I don't want a double. I can't come on Fox News and tell them that I had a double come in, a stunt double to do my scene. And so he did it, and they got it done in one take. And he inspires me. This guy is about as crazy as he. I'm thinking, that's what I want. I don't want any stunt doubles coming in for me to go to India. I want to go to India. I want to do it, Jesus. I want to be used by you. I don't want someone else coming in and taking my position. And then people here say, oh, you know, Pastor Bill, you know, he got a little bit too old for that, you know. No way. I'm going to keep going till I drop. That was inspiring. I thought, this guy is a pioneer of pillows. But he's also a pioneer of some other things, you know? No stunt doubles. I'm doing it. What God has for me here. And I'm putting in my money. Guy's made a lot of money. You know how many pillows, Mr. MyPillow has, you know how many pillows? 43 million pillows. That's a lot of heads. Usually you don't have two heads on a pillow. And he says, I really do want to help people. I make sure that the products I put out, people say they're good because I reverse engineer them. I'll improve them if they're not good enough. And it was just inspiring to hear this guy. You know, you see him in the goofy ads, and then he just is a radical Christian. They said, well, what about the stockholders? Or they want you to, you know, mess up your business possibly with this controversial film against abortion? And he said, ah, we just get together and pray about it. The leaders, you know, and the stockholders, they're going to have to get used to it. Apparently, he's done a few things before. The stockholders are still behind him. The Wright brothers, you know, about this time of year, December 17th, 1903, get this. Their first flight was in Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina. Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina. There's some prophetic here with the Wright brothers. They were definitely men of faith, if not Christians. And God gave them the idea for flight. Kill Devil. Do you know when we take a flight to Africa, when we take a flight to Brazil, when we take a flight to India, when we take a flight anywhere in the world, it's been speeded up, you know, because of these guys. Think how long it would take for a ship. How long it would take for ground travel if we didn't have flights. It's definitely Kill Devil. It's sped up evangelism and the gospel to every part of the world. Now, It also helped with mail and getting people from place to place without any Jesus in it. But for us, it multiplies and has accelerated the gospel. So they're at Kill Devil Hill. It's this time of year. And they finally, you know, these are sand dunes. So they needed the height. 12 seconds was the first flight. 120 feet. Doesn't sound like much of a flight, does it? And they had prototypes before they took this flight that they went through, trying to make sure that they can go 12 seconds and land during the first flight. And of course, this flight, this apparatus, was a prototype for their next flights and their next flights and their next flights. I forget which brother it was. You know, it was Orville and Wilbur. I forget which one it was that died in 1948. Think how many different versions of the airplane there were by 1948. A lot of the winning of World War II was because we were advanced in flight and able to basically destroy Germany and Japan by bombing raids. What's the point of that? Here's someone inspired with an idea, two people inspired with an idea from the Lord to fly, something that's never been accomplished before, and there were lots of prototypes that didn't make it, of course, before that, and you see films and films and films of them crashing, and they tried every which way to fly, and here's a 12-second flight, 120 feet, and they say, it's a success! The first flight! 12 seconds. Now, those guys had to say to each other, I think we can do better than this. I really do. We can't keep taking 12-second flights, 120 feet, to get to San Francisco. That's just not going to be very functional. We're going to have to get some longer flights, some improvements on these prototypes in order to make it there. And that's what God did with Mary. Mary's not the top, the pinnacle. She's the prototype of carrying the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, follow me, please. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Oh, I have it here already. Another Bible. That's why I had two. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hey, don't you know? You're the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. If you know Jesus, Holy Spirit has decided you are the place He wants to live now. Incredible. Romans 8, 9. Take a look at that one. Back up. Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He's saying, Mary was the prototype. Guess what? You're the real deal. You're the models down the road. You're the ones that He has decided to dwell in continually and empower continually. If we don't have Jesus inside, if we don't have the Holy Spirit inside, the Bible says we're dead. Dead. We could be walking around. We could be Christmas shopping. We could be doing all kinds of things. But we're dead inside. No life. No life. Doesn't matter if things are being thought. Things are being done. We're doing things. We're thinking things. We're dead as far as spiritually. Not being led by the Holy Spirit. Not being powered by the Holy Spirit. That's a tragedy. Do we have gift of Christmas just so people have money to purchase gifts for their families? No, we have gift of Christmas so that we can present Jesus to them on top of that. It's a blast to have people go out and shop for their families, to see them do that, to bless them that way. But our ultimate gift of Christmas is Jesus inside for them. So when they come to the front and receive Jesus, we're not just blowing smoke. That is the best gift they could ever have for their life. Mary knew it, and she had Jesus inside of her temporarily and gave birth. And then eventually, I think she probably was among the group that was baptized in the Holy Spirit, waiting for him to come on the day of Pentecost. Then she could carry the Holy Spirit after that. We have the ultimate, absolute privilege of inviting Jesus in. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell, and then he will completely baptize us in his presence. And we'll hear from him in an ongoing conversation. We can act according to what he wants us to do. He gives us dreams, visions, pictures to lead us and guide us in life. He wants to heal us inside of emotional pain, of memories, of difficult things that have happened to us. And he wants us to tell other people about him so they can get healed up and they can have that same Holy Spirit living inside of them. I'm hoping that these are the gifts of Christmas that you're going to be passing out. And it comes in one package, the Holy Spirit. Comes in one package, Jesus being given to them in this season. Oh, well, I'll give them a present. Maybe they'll get the idea that, you know, Jesus. But how about you tell them also? Tell them the good news. Let it come across your lips somehow this season. Take a risk. Come on. If it's the best gift, let's talk about the best gift. Let's not make it so hard that they have to look to the things we're doing and everything and being the example and all that. Let's just speak it out also. Take a risk with those family members. I find as I get older, I'm bolder. Hopefully, I'm more loving while being bolder. I'm getting the mix better. Because the Holy Spirit can change me. Make me a better model. Maybe I'm just a prototype of the next model. And then that is the prototype of the next model, just like with the Wright brothers. My pillow guy had to go through a lot of changes in those pillows. And now I noticed he thinks it's at a pretty good place. So now he has a mattress topper. And he's throwing in the pillows for free because the mattress topper is going to cost you some coins because he's developed it from the prototypes into a good model that he thinks is going to bless you. But I'm sure he's not done. There's going to be further research as he does the, you know, here's the comments back. And the next topper is going to be better than the last topper. How about you do the same with your life? How about I do the same with my life? This is just the beginning. I'm just a prototype of the next me he wants to be inside of me through Holy Spirit. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. And let him change me. There's some other good verses here. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let's take a look. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who says we're our own? Who says it's our life? It's His. Let's give it to Him. Let's quit struggling. Let's surrender. Let's let Him have our life. What kind of life can we build on our own? Pretty puny. Not so great. Even kings have tried it. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he walked on his walls and he said, now these are the gardens of those walls were one of the original wonders of the world. And he walked on top of that wall, some say 8 feet wide. And he said, basically, look at all that I have built. He felt he had reached the pinnacle. Look at everything I have done. And in his case, God decided to show him he was worshiping himself. And he didn't fry him on top of the wall, which was nice of God. He let him go crazy and eat grass for 7 years because he thought he could do something. He thought he had produced all these things. And after those 7 years, he came to himself and he started glorifying God because he was humbled by God himself. I don't want to see any of you eating grass for 7 years and trying to, you know, pray over you for you to come back to yourself. Make it easy on yourselves and sacrifice your life to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. I don't want to see any of you eating pine needles from the Christmas tree in this season. I want you to go ahead and surrender to Jesus your whole life and not have Him choose you to be an example of, to others that there's another one that just didn't get it. They tried to build their own little kingdom. They tried to live their own life. They tried to take control. They tried to be in the driver's seat. It used to be an old song when I first became a Christian. Let Jesus be in the driver's seat. You take the back seat. Let Him drive. Had some good guitar parts to that song. Second Corinthians 6:16. We're in 2 Corinthians now. Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Does that bring any privilege to your heart? God hasn't decided to dwell in this building primarily. He's decided to dwell in your building primarily. Now, if He has His manifest presence and it breaks out in this room and we all hit the floor, great. But inside of you, He's decided to live even beyond something that could happen in here during a service. You carry Him when you go outside, just like Mary carried the baby Jesus for 9 months. You carry Him inside. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You're the temple of the living God. When will that shake you? When will that shake me? With the privilege of that. Mary felt privileged. Mary was humbled. Mary walked with humility through the whole process. Mary delivered the Savior to the world. But I think when she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was her greatest experience. Because he lived in her continually, continued to live in her and empower her and strengthen her and speak the things to her that Jesus taught. She didn't go around to Jesus saying, "Look, I'm your mother." You don't say no to your mother, Jesus. When the first miracle was done, she said, "They're out of wine." And he says to her, "What does that have to do with me, woman?" He didn't even call her mom. He didn't call her. I don't think he said it that way. I'm just using that for dramatic effect. It was probably more like, "What does that have to do with me, woman?" Like the movies. But I said it wrong. Okay, so, but the point is, he didn't call her mom, he didn't call her mother. He called her woman. Because she was used in the role to give him life, but it wasn't long. Probably about the time he was 12 years old, he started giving them life. Mary and Joseph started learning from Jesus, and he's 12 years old. How would you like to have the perfect kid, Mom? You don't have to say, "Don't run." You just go, don't have to tell Jesus not to run in the road. "Don't touch the stove." You don't have to. He's not going to touch the stove and get burned. After a while, you just start thinking, "Gosh, he doesn't do anything wrong. I could learn from him." And Mary and Joseph figured that out. He did not apologize for wandering away from his parents in a big city and going to the temple and teaching. He didn't say, "Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you, Mom and Dad. That was my mistake. I'll take my punishment. What is it?" He said, "I was about my father's business in my father's house. Where would you expect to find me?" He was teaching them, "My destiny is going to be higher than any destiny you could have for me. And don't try to rein me in. I am going to do what my father says." And they're good with that. They're not saying, "What a disobedient kid we have." They got it and celebrated that. Did I read 2 Corinthians? Yeah, I did that. Yeah, okay. Ephesians 2:21 is the last one. Ephesians 2:21. Galatians, Ephesians, you're in the ballpark. Verse 21. "In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Has it grabbed your heart yet? You're a dwelling place for God. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Oh, you've heard this spoken here before. And this will not be the last time, because we need to know who we're carrying. We need to realize it more and more each moment. We need to depend on that person that we're carrying. Ask him questions. Like Mary asked the angel, we have someone higher than an angel to ask our questions. We can ask Holy Spirit and we'll always get the right answers. Not saying the angel was wrong. He got it right. But Holy Spirit is far above any angel. And you carry him if you know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you can invite Jesus in today. And the Holy Spirit will come in and you'll understand what I'm talking about. You'll understand the privilege of carrying him. Because since 1972, I just say my life has just kind of gone like this. Oh, I might have had a little dips and things, but basically it's gone like that. in learning about God and growing with him and following him and so on. And I have many things in my life that need to change. But he's covering those with his mercy, and I know it, and I thank him for it, and I worship him for it. He's covering it with his grace, and I thank him for it, and I worship him for it. And I ask him questions. What should I say to this person? Oh, Pastor, I need to ask you a question. And I think, who am I to answer your question? I want Holy Spirit to answer your question. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to them? You speak to each individual with an individual mix of wisdom and guidance and experience. What is your mix for this person, Holy Spirit? Don't have me fall back on my experience, my knowledge of the scriptures. Fall back on things I've said before to other people. Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Speak what you want for this person at this time, in this situation. And then it'll be life. It won't be Bill. It'll be life. Thank you, God. You can do it through any of us. May I encourage you, carry the Holy Spirit and realize it and relish in it. Surrender to him in your thoughts. Surrender to him in your actions. Surrender to him in your plans, in your future. Thinking of your future. Surrender. He's got the best. He has the absolute best. I sense you want to do that with a whole new vigor. It shouldn't be just kind of a slide. Oh, yeah, I'll kind of, when I think of it, I'm just going to follow Holy Spirit. It should be intentional. I want to follow you, Holy Spirit. Speak it to him. Speak to me. I need to hear from you in this situation. I want to hear from people that know you because they have some advice for me. But you are the one that calls the balls and strikes. You are the umpire of my heart, the Bible says. Go ahead, Holy Spirit. Help me with this decision. Strengthen me. And I'm telling you, your life will change. Comfort will come in the most grieving of times. You'll know his love in a deeper way. He won't be a theory to you. He won't be someone that you say, Holy Spirit, and you have no experience with him. Or it never comes across your lips, Holy Spirit, Jesus. I know people that are pastors that have a hard time praying. Now, is that crazy? Why is that? They're not close to Holy Spirit. Because you know your pastors here just can't stop praying. They can't stop speaking. The message was over 10 minutes ago. But I can't stop. I want you to get this deep. I want this to go strong in you. It's a desire of my heart to see each person raised up here to know God intimately. Not just the standard stuff. Come to church, hear about God. Okay, go home. Yeah, heard about God. Yeah, what'd you hear? Heard about God. They threw Jesus in there too. Extra. And one time they mentioned Holy Spirit. No. I want you to know him intimately. And these scriptures come alive. And the ones you don't understand, you don't go, I don't understand that Bible. Guess what? Neither do I. That's the cool part about it. We have to know him, and he has to reveal it to us. I remember a guy years ago, he called himself the Walking Bible. I would never do that. Because he knew so many scriptures, and he could spout them out. It's not the spouting out of scriptures that does anything. Knowing them, knowing a bunch of scriptures. It's knowing the author intimately. This is a different book than other books. The author is the one you want to know. not the book as much. It leads you to the author. Now take this the right way. It's extremely important that you know this book. But if it doesn't reveal the author to you, you're just a little bit off. Because he's the one that lives inside of you. He's the one that empowers you. You hear my heart on that? Don't go around saying, Pastor Bill says the Bible, you don't need it anymore. That's not the summary. Father, we thank you, God. You are revealing yourself to us more and more and more, God. We receive it. We surrender to your revelation, your impartation inside of us, your dwelling inside of us, Father. If we don't know you, we say, it's time, Jesus. What was I thinking? I've gone this long in life and I don't know you. I want to receive you, Jesus. Come into my life. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for sacrificing your life that I could have my sin forgiven and I could come to know you. Thank you for resurrecting from the dead to show you aren't just somebody dying on a cross. You're God, mighty God, coming back. Death could not hold you in the tomb. And then you ascended up to heaven and you didn't forget about me. No, you're praying for me. You want me to succeed. You want me to make the last miles of my journey and finish strong across the finish line. That's you, Jesus, caring about me so much when you could just sit in heaven and receive all that glory from the angels and the seraphim and the cherubs and the elders and all of the characters in heaven. You could just receive that glory and forget about me. But no, I'm on your heart. You gave me a new name. You're praying that name out in heaven today. Thank you, Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Wow, God, how easily I forget. The greatest treasure is inside of me and treating me like a temple. I know I'm not holy. I know I don't deserve that. But when I receive you, Jesus, into my life, you come in to live. You don't just stay on the outside and say, okay, you're good to go, boy. You come inside and continue to transform my life. And you give me a voice, a powerful voice to tell other people about you, and their lives are changed. And suddenly I'm a pioneer in the family. Suddenly I'm a pioneer in places in the spirit that no other person could take that place, Jesus. Just like Mary, no other person was chosen to take that place. But we don't glorify Mary. We thank her for her example. We thank her for her faithfulness. And we give you the glory, God. You used her powerfully, and you can use us powerfully. Help us not put a ceiling or a limit on how you can use us in life. It doesn't matter where we come from, Jesus. I was in a small town in Michigan, son of a garbage man. It didn't make any difference. You sent me to the nations because you said that man will be a pioneer. And God, you've done it with each of us. Help us to hear what you're saying to us, how you want to use us as a pioneer in some way, shape, or form. You do want to use us. And you do want us to be pioneers. Help us not sell ourselves short, Jesus. Help us not take less than or be less than. We can be more than as you are inside of us and we follow your instructions. It would be foolish to have you inside and live our own life. It would be foolish not to have you inside. There's a lot of foolish moves we can make, Jesus. But we do know when we invite you inside and we give our whole life to you and we follow you, we walk with you, we're close to you, you're touching our heart, then we will accomplish our destiny that you've given us. It's a bigger destiny than what we could ever imagine, and it will impact the nations. Thank you, God. How can you use us who are so small to do such great things? We could say the same about Mary. How could you use a small, insignificant, unknown village girl to accomplish bringing the Savior of the world into the world? You did it. You picked the right person, Jesus. And with us, you've picked the right person, because we are not going to let a stunt double do it. We're going to do it. We're not going to let somebody else do it. We're going to do it. We're going to be the pioneer. We're not going to get some alias name. We're going to be the one, the true servant, bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless each person here with that, spoken over them today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, this holiday season, you might consider buying MyPillow.